Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this Friday edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. As I told y'all on Monday, I was going to be coming back every Monday and Friday with my own show on YouTube. Now, obviously, courtesy of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio Channel 124, every Wednesday night, I have a strictly political show that comes on the POTUS channel. I don't even call it politics. I call it social commentary, and I absolutely positively love doing it. This is different because on Mondays and Fridays is a little bit different than that. You know, I get into anything outside of the world of sports. It could be pop culture entertainment. It could be politics. It could be social commentary. It could be whatever the hell is on my mind, because a lot of people have taken the liberty of clapping at me and what have you. And I have to tell you, I just got tired of it. And so Monday when I came on the air and I addressed the likes of a Michelle Beadle or the likes of a Kerry Champion or whatever the case may be, not that I pair them two in the same category, because I do not. I got to tell you something. It felt good. Much to the chagrin of producers and other people, damn, all of that is right up my alley. It's what makes me comfortable. Because you see, people have been spending a lot of time talking a lot of shit. And I just want you to know I'm here for it. Now, I'm not going to always respond. I promise you that. Because most people ain't worth my damn time that could conduct themselves like that. I understand that certain people are desperate for clicks, relevancy, and of course money, because you can have your own YouTube show and you can make a few dollars, and that's more than corporate America is paying people, you know, from a median perspective in this day and age. I understand that. But it doesn't mean that people who proclaim to be truth tellers should be on the air lying all the damn time, acting like they're paragons of virtues, that they're above board, that all they do is tell the truth, but nobody else does. And I won't mention their names because they're not worthy of having their names mentioned, but it ain't hard to deduce and figure out who they are. What I'm going to do in the future is use my show, particularly on Mondays and Fridays, to touch on whatever the hell I want to talk about. Y'all know we made news. Straight Shooter Media made news because I partnered with one of my best friends on the planet, Kevin Frazier, from Entertainment Tonight, who I love dearly. He's my brother. And Rashawn McDonald is one of my producers and one of my dearest advisors. The man is brilliant. Doesn't sound it all the time with his country ass self, but that brain of his is special. It really, really is. To the women, the Sherrys of the world, the Sumatras of the world, the Bettys of the world, of course, my publicist and communications director, Solanges of the world, and other, love everybody, value everybody, all right? Along with my producers, Griff, Smart as a Whip, Izzo, Fudge, Wes, you know, everybody. Love everybody. Love the people work for me, love the people work with me. But all of them could kick rocks right now. I'm going to be me. And I say that affectionately. They know I'm only playing when I'm talking about kicking rocks, because they know how much I love them. And I listen to what they have to say, but I'm going to do me. And I was very, very happy. I felt good. It felt cathartic to respond to the bullshit that I'd been subjected to. Much to the chagrin of the ESPNs of the world and the SiriusXMs of the world, I work for them. I value their opinion and their thoughts or whatever. But I'm a grown-ass man. I'm 58 years old, and there's only but so much shit I'm going to take. So understand that at the very least twice a week, it's going to be stuff that's on my mind. Really, it's me anytime I'm on the air. The sports show on SiriusXM, the Stephen A. Smith Show, my political show, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. on Wednesday nights, me on First Take. I'm going to be me. It's just that, you know, when you're over FCC airways, you can't just be cussing, dropping F-bombs, S-bombs, and all that stuff. Got to have some decorum. Got advertisers and sponsors to pay attention to. That's business, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm going to be me. Having said all of that, this is one of those times. Because there's still noise being made. And, you know, I had a dear friend of mine, and I'm not going to tell you her last name because it's none of your business. She's been a friend of mine practically since I was 15 years old. Her name is Sharon. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she was very upset at some of the things that she was seeing, the memes that have been put out there about me, and the things that people were saying. And she did something that touched my heart. She said to me, could you please call me? Because these things are disturbing me. Because I know they're not you. But the clips aren't showing that. Questions that are being asked of you are being cut off, obviously. Answers that you're giving are being edited. And the imagery that has been projected about you is so untrue about the man that I know that I want to talk to you because I want to know what are you going to do about this. Because you see, she knows that one of the things that I've had to do to elevate myself to the level that I've elevated myself to in this business that God has blessed me to be able to do, it doesn't come without the ability to show restraint. It doesn't come without the ability to shut up and to just let people chirp with their irresponsible, erroneous, and egregious bullshit that they do, But there's a certain point where it's enough's enough. So I took the liberty of calling her and explaining to her the things that I said, whether it would be about Kerry Champion, whether it would be about Jasmine Crockett, whether it would be about Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris, or anybody else for that matter. And I went down line by line what I said and what's been put out there. And she started crying. Why are you taking this? Why do you let people talk about you like this? You always have done this. When do you say enough's enough? And then I reminded her about something an executive that I revere once told me. His name happens to be Bob Iger, the CEO of Walt Disney, who I consider to be one of, if not the greatest executive I've ever known. And I remember one time I asked him the same question. And he said to me, Stephen, it's a lot easier to do when you're the one who knows the truth. He said, because you can choose to be quiet about it or to disseminate that truth at your discretion anytime you want to. And you can also reach out and touch somebody anytime you want to. Those are my words, that last part, not his. And along the way, it also brought up something in my mind. It reveals who your true friends are. You see, unlike Sharon, who is a friend that has taken the liberty of calling me and reminding me of who she knows me to be, I've had other friends, including one in particular, a young lady who will remain nameless, that I loved dearly with all my heart, that I will never speak to in life again. Because over the Jasmine Crockett situation, and because of me clapping back at Michelle Obama, when Michelle Obama compared First Take to Housewives in Atlanta, or wherever it was. She called me a sellout. There is nobody in my life that's going to get away with saying that to me. With how much I love and how much I do for my brothers and sisters, meaning black people in this world. No one is getting away with that and staying in my life. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but I ain't forgiving that shit, and I ain't forgetting it. There ain't nowhere for us to go after that. And this is a person that still speaks to my sisters like they're family with one another. I don't care. I never, as I told my sister Carmen, I never want to see this person or talk to this person ever in life again. You're not getting away with that. And the reason why I'm not going to let people get away with that is because, A, it's false, but B, and most importantly, you should know better. We want to act that way over politics. Well, let's put it as the late, great Joe Madison for Urban View Radio always used to say famously, let's put it where the goats can get it. As I said on Monday's show, this ain't about race, this ain't about selling out, this ain't about nothing but politics. And it's about politicians and their operatives influencing folks to think this way, and especially from the Democratic side. That's right, I said it. You want me to parrot your speech. You want me to look out for y'all. Well, when you looking out for black people? When the immigration issue became such a pertinent issue, right? And you thought it would assuage the concerns of the LGBTQ community and let them know you were marching lockstep in support of them. You sat up there and was willing to support 1% of the population at the expense of 13.6% of us who emanate from the African-American community. When were our issues addressed? You think the issue was addressed because you sat up there and said, I'm going to let this black woman be the Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson? Did it ever occur to you, former President Biden, that announced to the world beforehand that you were going to elect a black Supreme Court justice, that you undermined her by articulating that publicly instead of just doing it? Why didn't you just do it and give the impression, which was true, that she probably was the most qualified for the job? Instead of giving 77 plus million people, at the very least, an excuse to look at her blackness with her record and her resume more than qualified her for the position. Could it be because you wanted to let your crew know, your clique, your inside circle know, yo, I'm really not about this, but this is going to appease the black community, so let me just say that for them. Y'all get it, what I'm doing, right? Was that the reason? I'm just asking. Inquiring minds want to know. For the folks that wanted to get on me because I questioned stuff about Kamala Harris, why didn't you? This fake outrage and vitriol that got y'all in an uproar because I'm asking questions. Where y'all at? Where you at? I say all of this to say, to let you know, I ain't running. There isn't a single person that I have talked about on this show that I haven't invited to this show. Governors have been here. Senators have been here. Representatives have been here. Governor, mayor-elects have been here. Former governors have been here. Pundits have been here. Where y'all at? If I was a Republican, damn it, I'd say I was a Republican. Nobody's scared of y'all. I'm getting ready to get into Trump and this whole DOJ stuff with Epstein in just a second. I'm just getting started. Where y'all at? So I'm just saying all of that to say, ain't nobody playing. I'm getting text messages about, oh, you said this about Epstein and you said about Biden not releasing the files and all of this other stuff. He couldn't have demanded it. I'll get into that in a second. They talking about the power that Trump is wielding as the commander in chief. And look at the abuse of power. You could have did it. You chose to do it in other ways. Don't make you more innocent. You talked about the Republicans trying to circumvent democracy in this country. Didn't you do it with Kamala Harris? Didn't you do it when you knew that Biden wasn't fit to be president? I'm Stephen A. I'm a coon. I'm a seller. Hell, I'm stepping and fetching it. But y'all were the ones dancing with his 80-year-old self in the White House on the lawn, playing R&B and hip-hop like he knows something about that. Forgot the crime bill in the 90s, huh? Forgot the disproportionate number of black people that were incarcerated, huh? Forgot the role that he played in all of that, huh? Forgot all of that. Because he's the president, and we want to kowtow and cater to him because he could cut the checks and he got the power. Who's selling now? I got nothing to hide. Nothing. I ain't a politician. I ain't a criminal. I don't take stuff under the table. I'm front and center. I can stand on business any day of the week. And I'm not talking about just now. I'm talking about my entire damn career. You know the number one reason why I don't believe that you should take it seriously, that I might run for president and all of this other stuff? Number one, because I ain't giving up my money. Let's get that out the way. I'll leave the door open because you never know what anything can happen. Just like my pastor, A.R. Bernard from Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, New York, always says to me, you don't know what God has planned for you for a year, year and a half from now. Stop that. Okay, fine. But the unlikelihood is very palpable in terms of me not running for the president. Number one is because of my money. And number two is because the only way to make up for the money is getting money under the table, which means I'd be owned by somebody else or a multitude of other people. I'm not talking about campaign donations and stuff like that. I'm talking about to make up for the money that I would lose because I have a job. I have multiple jobs. It would be at the mercy of those who gave it to me. Do your homework. You'll find out. I'm not interested in being at the mercy of anyone. Yes, I work for people. Yes, you have to capitulate to some degree. Yes, when you're doing business with folks, you have to take their considerations, their things into consideration, their wishes, their desires, etc., into consideration, not just yourself, but not at the price of you. Google me. Go back to Winston-Salem State. Talk to my man like a Boris Battle who lives in Minnesota, who's my teammate at Winston-Salem State, whose birthday is today, by the way. Love you, bro. Talk to my boy Mark Turner. Talk to Monte Ross, who's the head basketball coach at North Carolina A&T. Talk to my bevy of college buddies. Talk to my childhood friends from Hollis. You've seen them on the show before. See Cardell? See my man Money Mark? See Spank? You seen Bobby? Been on the show before. Don't know much about Ben. Might not know Marshall. Might not know a whole bunch of people. Ask them. I haven't changed. Y'all have. Suddenly, we want to vibe with everything. When the Bidens of the world show up and we're living under a society that we got to worry about our job security because we might not be down with somebody who was Steven yesterday and want to call himself Stephanie today. Not wishing anything, any harm upon them, not wanting their civil rights violated or anything like that. It just ain't their cup of tea. We can't sit up there and say, you somebody like me, you got two daughters. You don't want some dude with private male parts rolling into the same restroom as your daughter. Like that woman that was on camera, on video, on social media the other day going off because this dude walked into the woman's bathroom like it was no issue. We can't say that knowing that in a black family, we couldn't pull that off. That's not how we were raised. But bringing that up is a problem. Who's selling out? Is it me? Or is it those folks? Last but not least, as it pertains to a Jasmine Crockett, I'd like to remind everybody, I threw out all of those names because Jasmine Crockett has been on this air, invited on this show for 4 months. AOC has been invited on this show for 4 months. Gavin Newsom has been invited on this show for longer than that. Props to Hakeem Jeffries. He's a friend of the show. Always welcome on here. I like that man. I respect them. Chuck Schumer's been invited on this show. Hasn't shown up. Where they at? Every single Republican I have asked to show up on this show has either said yes or that they're coming. Not the Dems. Why? Madeline Dean, thank you so much. You were such a wonderful guest. What a marvelous representative. I really like her. Fetterman, I heard you got injured or whatever. I wish you nothing but the best. Had the pleasure of meeting him and being on stage with him on News Nation on Chris Cuomo's show. Nothing but love for you, my man. You did the right thing with the whole shutdown. You thought about your people, not your party, because it's about the people. Mad love to y'all. Democrats are still invited. I saw Jasmine Crockett on the Shade Room. I aired that the other day. I'd love for you to say that to my face so I could have a response. A respectful one, of course, because I have nothing but respect for you, your intellect, your intelligence, the whole bit. Licensed to practice law in Texas, Arkansas, and the federal government, and the Fed, rather. Federal judiciary. Oh, my God. You could do some great things. Can you win the state of Texas as a senator? It's two of them allowed. Can you win one? It's a question. I don't know the answer to it. Because it's not relatively a red state. That's what it's perceived as being. We know how the red states march with Trump. Can you win it? Because as you pointed out, your power may not be what you want it to be. But it certainly would be if you was one of those senators. I'd love for you to win Texas. Love it. Love it. You in the senator's seat representing the state of Texas? That would be phenomenal. Can you do it? How are you strategizing to do it? Are we going to ask these questions? I don't have to ask AOC. She's clearly aiming for Chuck Schumer's seat. We ain't blind. She's going to win it, too. She's going to beat Chuck Schumer. She's not going to lose to Chuck Schumer. At least not right now. If something goes awry over the next 2 years, yeah. But based on what we're seeing right now, Chuck Schumer will lose. He'll get bounced up out of there. Eric Swalwell has been dying to come on this show. Representative out of California, Democrat. Looking forward to having him. Where Gavin Newsom at? Where's AOC at? Where's Jasmine Crockett? You are absolutely right. If you are places like the Shade Room and the Breakfast Club and, you know, these other places, Roland Martin show, I don't give a damn what he says about me. I respect that man. He's been a guest on this show in the past. And with what I'm planning for the future, which is more than this, by the way, he'll be a guest again. Roland Martin's coming from a position of passion and somebody that looks out for black people at every turn. I don't agree with everything, but I respect him. For those of folks out there trying to get me to say something negative about him, wrong place. Ain't gonna happen. Unless I deem it necessary, which I don't. Breakfast Club, Shade Room, continue to do your thing. Charlamagne the God texts me all the time. When he disagrees with me, he's man enough to tell me. Matt Barnes, all the smoke. Love this brother. Love him. I got a cat out in L.A. that's one of my closest friends. His name is Todd Johnson. Brilliant. And doesn't hesitate to let me know when he disagrees with me. Don't get me started with my boy Jeff Brown. This is how you edify yourself. By not having people in your life who agree with everything. They'll disagree and they'll challenge you. And that's what it's all about. That's how you get better. That's how you get smarter. The difference between them and most of these, and some of these sorry-ass people, is the disrespect. That I ain't gonna tolerate. And in terms of bringing up places like the Shade Room and the Breakfast Club and where some of these folks go, I understand I'm not them. And they're great. And continue to watch and support those shows. But be clear, they're also not me. I'm a little bit different. And I'm going to come at things differently. But that's in y'all eyes. If you had been paying attention, I'm the same dude that I've always been. from the New York Daily News to the Philadelphia Inquirer to Fox Sports to CNNSI to ESPN. I changed. Other folks have. That is why they will cease to exist in my life. And they won't be missed. Because I have y'all. That's one point I wanted to make. I'll be back in a second after I get, so I can get to my next subject, which involves President Trump and Megyn Kelly and others in a minute. Now back to the next subject. This whole thing with the Epstein files. I don't need to regurgitate it like I'm some news reporter, which I'm fully capable of doing. Not necessary, though. Bottom line is this. You've got some of the Epstein emails which were released. On three separate emails, Trump's name was mentioned. According to Epstein, he's the horse that hasn't barked, indicating that he hasn't really, really spoken yet, but that he fully expected Trump to do exactly that, speak and speak out against Epstein and what have you. For those of you who may not have read the news, apparently Trump and Epstein had a falling out. They both wanted some property and in Florida, Trump outbid him. It got pretty ugly, blah, 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 blah. And of course, before he was president, Trump said that he had gone after Epstein in his own way for going after some of the young ladies that worked for Trump. Trump didn't like it. That's neither here nor there. The latest news is what matters, because in light of people who have tried to associate Trump with the whole Epstein scandal. Obviously, Democrats, particularly with the swearing in of Representative Adelita Grijalva out of Arizona, who would give the final vote on it, and she did, to have these files opened. Now Trump's name is all over the place because it's indicating that he may have been mentioned on several occasions in the Epstein emails, and his relationship with Epstein was closer than people realize, and the implication is clear that you're trying to connect the president with messing around with little girls. They're not saying that outright, because if they do, they'll get themselves sued in all likelihood. But it's clearly the indication, the connection that is attempting to be made in order to sully the president. OK, I mean, a blind person, you know, a deaf person could see that. OK, or hear that. So with that being said, the latest news does matter. And it matters when it comes to Trump, first of all, because it says, according to the Wall Street Journal, President Donald Trump said he would ask the Justice Department and the FBI to launch an investigation into Jeffrey Epstein's relationship with former President Bill Clinton and others. In a Friday morning social media post, Trump accused Democrats of focusing on his ties to the disgraced financier to distract from their own political vulnerabilities. In addition to Clinton, he said he would ask the Justice Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to probe the deceased sex offender's relationships with economist Larry Summers, a former Obama administration official, and venture capitalist Reid Hoffman, a prominent Democratic donor. The president also said the investigation should examine J.P. Morgan Chase. Epstein had dozens of accounts at J.P. Morgan's private bank and communicated often with bank executives. The Wall Street Journal has previously reported J.P. Morgan, which cut ties with Epstein in 2013, filed what is known as a suspicious activity report to federal law enforcement beginning as early as 2002. The bank has paid a total of $365 million in civil settlements in connection with litigation over Epstein. Attorney General Pam Bondi says she asked Jay Clayton, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, remember the MP Diddy, the same office that brought charges against Epstein and his longtime associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, to take the lead on the request. That's where we are. First things first. It is very, very difficult to believe that somebody could be associated with Epstein in any way and not get mentioned if you're a prominent figure. Now, what you deduce from that in terms of guilt or innocence is for you to do. We ain't trying to get sued. We ain't doing that. But what we will tell you is that it's not a surprise to hear Trump's name in the mix. The question is it to protect himself or to protect well-known public figures? We have a right to ask that question because the left is in on it now, but MAGA right was in on it because unlike Kamala Harris, unlike Joe Biden or anybody else, Trump campaigned on the release of the Epstein files. He campaigned on the assassination of JFK. And if I remember correctly, MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. He campaigned on a whole bunch of stuff like that. So to then get into office and to suddenly walk around like he did months ago, talk about what's the big deal. This is not a real story. We're not touching on this. Seemed very, very suspicious, which riled up some members of his base who felt betrayed by Donald Trump. And let's not forget that this ain't just the left coming after him. This is the right wanting those files released. And if we're being totally transparent here, one of those people was Charlie Kirk. I'm making no connection to his assassination or anything like that. Please don't get that. Please don't get that twisted. I'm just bringing him up because he's a prominent name who is a prominent supporter of the president who spent an inordinate amount of time bringing up the fact that those Epstein files needed to be released. That's all I'm saying. And with that being said, understand that this ain't a left coming after Trump. It's also the right wanting those files released. Yet here he is going after Democrats as if it's them. Really? It's very suspicious, Mr. President. And slick. Because if you point the finger at the Democrats and you instruct the DOJ, the FBI, and law enforcement officials to go after, you know, to invade the files and find out the connection to prominent Democrats, it serves one of two purposes. It flagrantly politicizes the ordeal, which essentially makes you say it's just the Democrats versus the Republicans. It's all politics and nothing more. And you dilute the potency of the situation by doing that. Or you encourage the Democrats to back the hell off. Because some of their names, some of their favorite names associated with their party might be involved. One of the two, in my opinion, more so than anything else. So that's what he's doing. No surprise. You shouldn't be surprised. And if you are, shame on you. Because that ain't going to cut it. You know what I'm saying? I will also say this. One of my boys, the guy I mentioned, Todd Johnson in L.A., mentioned this earlier today. He said, man, there are drama series in Hollywood that haven't been written better than this one. I agree with him on that. There's a drama city. This is a drama series for your ass. I mean, this is unbelievable. Needless to say, none of it is a laughing matter because we're talking about young girls being sexually molested. And that's where it becomes problematic, and there's nothing funny about it. There's nothing to joke about it. There's nothing to be dismissive about when it comes to it. In the interest of full disclosure, anytime I came across as dismissive about it is because I thought I said simply it's not going to amount to anything because it's hearsay and it's he said, she said, and it's not like anybody's going to admit anything. So what are we going to get from this? But the MAGA right made a whole brouhaha out of it. And I must confess, they were right to do so because they're talking about how those names of those culprits, those potential culprits, were important to know. Now, what others are saying is that if you don't know definitively that they truly are culprits, then to incriminate them by putting their names, plucking their names from emails is not fair because we are innocent until proven guilty in this society. But MAGA was thinking differently, and in some places you can't blame them. We didn't expect one of those people to be Megyn Kelly. But here she is in a roundabout way involved in this now. Because on a show a few days ago, which by the way has 4 million plus subscribers, In the interest of full disclosure, I am a fan of Megyn Kelly's. I've been on her show a couple of times. I'm going back on soon. I think she's tremendous. But that doesn't mean we have to agree with everything. And we are certainly not going to agree with what she said here. Play the tape, please.
As for Epstein, I've said this before, but just as a reminder, I do know somebody very, very close to this case who is in a position to know virtually everything. Not everything, but virtually everything. And this person has told me from the start, years and years ago, that Jeffrey Epstein, in this person's view, was not a pedophile. This is this person's view, who was there for a lot of this, but that he was into the barely legal type. Like, he liked 15-year-old girls. And I realize this is disgusting. I'm definitely not trying to make an excuse for this. I'm just giving you facts. That he wasn't into, like, 8-year-olds. But he liked the very young teen types that could pass for even younger than they were, but would look legal to a passerby. And that is what I believed, and that was what I reliably was told for many years. And it wasn't until we heard from Pam Bondi that they had tens of thousands of videos of alleged, forgive me, they used to call it kiddie porn, now they call it child sexual abuse material, on his computer, that for the first time I thought, oh, no, he was an actual pedophile. I mean, only a pedophile gets off on young children abuse videos. She's never clarified it. I don't know whether it's true. I have to be honest. I don't really trust Pam Bondi's word on the Epstein matters
or anything
anymore.
Else.
Yeah, so I don't know what's true about him, but we have yet to see anybody come forward and say, I was a, like a, I was under 10. I was under 14 when I first came within his purview. Look, it's, you can say that's a distinction without a difference.
No, it's not.
I think there is a difference. Yeah. There's a difference between a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old. Yeah. You know, it's just whatever.
This was on a Megyn Kelly show, which airs every weekday. It's on SiriusXM Triumph, the Triumph channel. She now has her own channel, by the way. It's her channel, and she deserves it. She's phenomenal, in my opinion. But nobody's perfect, and this is not a flawless moment for her, in my opinion. In 2018, while a member of the Today Show, this is a quote from Megyn Kelly, there's no consenting for a 14 or even a 17-year-old in these circumstances. That's what she said. It's not going to stop me from appearing on her show as a guest. We can have that conversation if she wants to. And if she doesn't want to have it, that's fine. I'm her guest. If she was on this show, I'd ask her about it. If she doesn't ask me about it on her show, that's fine. I respect the hell out of Megyn Kelly and the work that she has done over the years. And I happen to, I'm very fond of her because of phenomenal work that she does. She is the real deal in my estimation. I just don't think this was her shining moment. I don't give a damn. I'm not even saying 15 or 5 or whatever. I'm not comparing it. And somebody can sit up there and say a 5-year-old is different from a 15-year-old, and that is not a crime. Just emphasize that it's still sexual assault. That 15-year-old is a minor. And there should be nothing that's coming out of any of our mouths that would draw the distinction between the two when it all involves underage girls. You're 15, you're underage. You're 10, you're underage. You're 5, as egregious and awful and pathetic and horrific as that is, you're underage. They all fall under that one category that is paramount to recognize. You're underage. You're underage. And I don't think that that's something that Megyn Kelly should have said. None of us are perfect. I certainly ain't. We all make mistakes with the verbiage that comes out of our mouth from time to time. And maybe there's an explanation that she could provide where she was alluding to what somebody else was saying as opposed to what she was saying. I don't know. I just know what I just aired for you. She should not have said that. Having said that, you ain't going to get me to sit up there and say she didn't listen to her show. She shouldn't watch her show. She's irresponsible. Blah, blah. Megyn Kelly's the real deal. She just messed up here. She just messed up with that comment. And she has to. She has to talk about that. My man Chris Cuomo from News Nation. Couldn't wait until News Nation, his show Cuomo on News Nation, airs every weeknight at 8 p.m. on News Nation. Couldn't wait to comment about the whole Megyn Kelly thing until the show. He took to social media to express himself there. Quote, when you only care about protecting a side, this is what you are capable of. And people thought this fire breather was showing her true colors by deferring to Candace Owens. I don't know what he means by that personally. He goes on. No, I don't think Megyn Kelly is okay with pedos or effable files or whatever. How the hell are you? That's a new name to pronounce. Effable files. But she is okay with defending Trump and MAGA because that is how she gets paid. Release the files. Trump should release them. Actually, instead of cashing in on a silly gotcha, when Kelly will be able to explain her way out of it, why aren't you focused on how it makes no sense for the president to not demand a release of these documents? I really don't get this. He's too savvy to not see how this is hurting him. End quote. Let me say this. Everybody knows how tight I am with Chris Cuomo. I didn't agree with what he said either. Get on Megyn Kelly for what she said. But it's not fair to imply that she said it because she's catering to Trump and the MAGA base. That's how she gets paid. I don't cater to Trump and the MAGA base. I don't cater to the liberals. I get paid. Chris Cuomo doesn't necessarily do that. He's getting paid. What we have to do is get away from this notion that every time somebody says something that we don't like or that is even, dare we say, egregious, that you had to be doing it with an agenda. Why can't it just be that's how you felt? That's the only thing I disagree with Chris Cuomo about there. It's the only thing. Because I love the brother and he's smart as hell. And he's taught me a lot. And we are friends. And I ain't the kind of friend that's going to betray my friends like some others out there who will remain nameless when it comes to Chris Cuomo. But it is important to say you should be entitled to your feelings without people accusing you of doing it because you're catering to a base, because that's how you get paid. Megyn Kelly has been around long enough and has accomplished and achieved more than enough, more than most journalists in this business, to ever be accused of getting paid because she's catering to a base. I can see a base wanting to cater. I can see a base wanting to cater to pay her because of her feelings about what it is that they do that she may that they may find favorable. But I would never accuse somebody with the credentials of a Megyn Kelly or a Chris Cuomo for doing something to cater to a base just to get paid. Megyn Kelly does not deserve that. She does deserve to be called out for what she said and to have to answer for it and explain to herself with more clarity. But that's it. She doesn't deserve to lose her job. She doesn't deserve to lose her channel. And she doesn't deserve to be accused of having her feelings and her emotions just because she's catering to a base. The Megyn Kelly that I've come to know don't give a shit about a base. She says what she means and means what she says. And I find her to be authentic. Just like I find my man Chris Cuomo to be authentic. That's my only disagreement with what Chris Cuomo said. Back to Trump, you're damn right he should release the files. You're damn right he should call for it. You got the Democrats out here saying they care. They always cared, and they cared about the victims when we asked a question about Biden and how come he didn't release anything. They threw a whole bunch of stuff against the wall about Trump with Russia, and now they're saying that the Epstein files may have proof of Trump's Russia connection. Yet they haven't bothered to go through the files yet, according to numerous reports. What's that about? Somebody make it make sense. And as it pertains to Biden, in the interest of fairness, let's talk about the former president in this regard. Because it says here, why didn't Biden release the Epstein files? The Epstein records were sealed by a judge until after Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. They weren't unsealed until January of 2024. So no, Biden couldn't release what wasn't legally available. Biden didn't run a cult. He let the Department of Justice operate independently, unlike Trump. This is just pundits saying this stuff. Who demands loyalty, oaths, and threats every agency like his personal operatives. No Democrat ran on the platform promising to release the Epstein files. Trump did, then blocked them. Here's what I don't like about that. That's the Democrats coming across holy in the Tao. We would never, ever, ever do anything like subvert the power of the Department of Justice or the FBI or anybody else for our own doing. Oh, we'd never do that. We'd never, ever, ever do that. Really? You sure? Isn't it the Democratic Party that picked Hillary Clinton, that picked Biden in 2020, that picked Kamala Harris in 2024? Didn't they circumvent our democratic process by making sure there wasn't a primary? Because you let Biden walk on stage June 27th, knowing that he was incapable of handling the job, he would be exposed, and ultimately that would position Kamala Harris to get the Democratic nominee because it wouldn't be time for a primary? Didn't you do that? I could bring up other things, but it's not necessary. Nobody's hands are clean here. It's all dirty. Stop it. Just stop it. You could have wielded some power to release those Epstein files, in my opinion. And if you didn't do it, it's because there's some Democrats' names up in there, in my opinion. I don't know. But if we saw Trump with Epstein, and we're using that as an excuse to implicate him, you think Trump mentioned Bill Clinton by accident? With what we know about Bill Clinton? You think he's the only one? What did Trump say in his Truth Social post today? Could y'all show me that, please? Please show me that. Now that the Democrats are using the Epstein hoax involving Democrats, not Republicans, to try and deflect from their disastrous shutdown and all of their other failures, I will be asking AG Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice, together with our great patriots at the FBI, to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's involvement and relationship with Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, J.P. Morgan Chase, and many other people and institutions to determine what was going on with them and him. This is another Russia scam with all the arrows pointing to the Democrats. Records show that these men and many others spent large portions of their life with Epstein and on his island. Stay tuned. I will say this. It's one thing to talk about outside of real estate, to question that outside of real estate, what does Trump know? People talk about how he doesn't read that much. He doesn't pay attention to minutiae. He's just great at real estate and great at giving orders, and he leaves the dirty work and the hefty work and the groundwork to other people. You know what I would bet my money that Trump knows something about? Young ladies and the older men who had a proclivity for spending time with them. Just a guess. I didn't say young girls. I said young ladies. How many times has a man been married? How many times have people accused him of philandering? There was recently, if you brought the book, in the book Fire and Fury, written by Michael Wolff, it was actually excerpts in the book where it talked about how Trump loved messing around with the wives of his friends. And how he would pull it off by diming the dudes out by having them on the phone with him, talking about some of these young ladies they'd want to hook up with and make sure the wife was on the phone to hear it. Megyn Kelly talked about this on her show. Same show. And what she said there was that while revealing what Michael Wolff had reported, that Trump would do stuff like that. He'd have the wife on the phone listening to her husband talking about getting with some young ladies. And while doing so, would then turn around and say, well, you could always get revenge with him. You could have sex with me. You think a man like that doesn't have dirt on other people? This is a mess. An absolute mess. And it's not going away. But let me tell you something else that I'm happy to say may end up going away. Because this ain't going nowhere. But something else that might end up going away is this whole story about these senators that tried to slide something, or that actually did slide something in the CR that allows them, as Madeleine Dean, representative out of Pennsylvania, who was just on my show, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. the other day, articulated, where it would allow for these senators, nine of them, that is, to sue the government, to sue our government over January 6th phone records due to Senate passed provisions tucked into the spending package. Senators would be allowed to sue the United States government up to $500,000 per accusation. So that means if you had 10 allegations against you by Jack Smith at the time, or anybody else, January 6th, involving the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. It's $500,000 per case to win. That could, you could win up to $5 million. $5 million. $5 million. That's what they slid in. Put them damn senators up on the screen again, please. I want their names. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, guest on this show. Very first show he was a guest. Marsha Blackburn, representative out of Tennessee. Bill Hagerty, Republican senator out of Tennessee as well. Josh Hawley, we all know him, Republican out of Missouri. Who else are we talking about here? Because let's make sure we know who they are. It's very, very important that we know who they are, okay? Who would do this? Who would attach their names to such a thing? Who would be this damn egregious? Who would they be? Dan Sullivan, Republican out of Alaska. Tommy Tuberville, Republican out of Alabama. Dan Sullivan was out of Alaska, I'm sorry. Ron Johnson, Republican out of Wisconsin. Cynthia Loomis, Republican out of Wyoming. That is what we are talking about here. Credit to the Republicans in the House, because they got wind of this and apparently they did not know. They didn't know. And Speaker Mike Johnson issued this quote: I was just as surprised by the inclusion of that language as anyone. I had no prior notice of it at all. Remember, he's in the House, they're in the Senate. These are senators that were included in all of this. He said, I was frustrated, as my colleagues are over here, and I thought it was untimely and inappropriate. So we'll be requesting, strongly urging, our Senate colleagues to repeal that. If this is repealed and it doesn't happen, I want to state for the record, I think it's healthy, and I think it's a good sign for the GOP that so many reps in the House are pushing back and will try to vote to repeal. I think it's important that they pull it off. I think it's important that that gets taken out of the bill. Shame on every one of them damn senators. How dare you? So we've got $37.8 trillion in debt. We're bitching and moaning all the time about spending. We can articulate and highlight every little thing that the Democrats are trying to do in terms of spending. It could be the Affordable Care Act subsidies. It could be for migrants. It could be for anything. Nothing is worse than you guys trying to make money by suing the government, which is taxpayer dollars, for money over the insurrection. What's worse than that in terms of being your money-grubbing asses selves? What's worse than that? How dare you do that? You didn't even talk about suing any specific individuals. You said suing the government. Where the money coming from then? If it's coming from the government, what money is that? That's taxpayer dollars. So the taxpayers are supposed to pay you back because the government came after you? Are you freaking kidding me? Put their names up again. Keep it up there. Lindsey Graham, Marsha Blackburn, Bill Hagerty, Josh Hawley, Dan Sullivan, Tommy Tuberville, Ron Johnson, Cynthia Loomis. You should be ashamed of your damn selves. Acting like a bunch of money grubbing you know what. The hell is wrong with you? You don't do that. Is that shit right there that sullies the GOP? It's a reminder that it's all about the Benjamins, but not the Benjamins for the American people, for yourself. How dare you do something like that? You better get that shit out that bill. You better get it out that CR. Not a dime. Not a dime. And by the way, President Trump, you shouldn't be trying to sue the government to get the over $200 million back. You done made billions. Whether it's in crypto or whatever other damn deal you made, how much is enough? Those are taxpayer dollars. I thought you were trying to save us money. That's what I thought you were trying to do. I mean, damn, how greedy can you be? Didn't you make over $5 billion in crypto since you've been in office? Ain't they talking about building hotels or whatever in Gaza and beyond? Ain't you renovating the White House? Excuse my language. The fuck is going on? You can't do that. That's taxpayer money. You talking about suing for $200 million. You offering the American people $2,000. Do the math. The hell is wrong with you? This is some ridiculous BS. It really is. Y'all get y'all shit together. And you the Republicans, you lost credibility on this one if your name is on that list, trying to get paid, trying to slide in some dollars. Mike Johnson, you speak of the House. Jim Jordan, you been on this show too. What's up? All of you, get that repealed. Get that repealed. When you come after the government, you're coming after taxpayer dollars. That's our money. You ain't getting it back. You ain't getting it, rather, from us. Madeline Dean was absolutely on point for pointing that out. You come across like you have no damn soul when you do this. Speaker Mike Johnson, I hope you follow up on your word and get this repealed. Strongly urging all that stuff. That's nice. I appreciate the position. I truly, truly do. But if it doesn't amount to anything, ain't nothing but lip service. Do something. You speak of the House. Get that shit out of there. If all nine of them could sue up to $2 million or $5 million, you're talking about anywhere from $18 to $45 million. You don't get to go for that money when you bitching about $300,000 or $1 million or $2 million going to Democratic causes, whether it be in Iraq or Africa or anywhere else. You trying to rob us right here. That's all I'm going to say for today. I'll see y'all Monday. It's Stephen A. signing off. Straight shooting in the House. Till next time.